Yes, it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Arizona Christmas as we know it usually consists of a few frozen bougainvilleas, some frost burn on some citrus leaves, you know, stuff like that, but we'll take it.
Dead Lantana.
Dead Lantana, we'll take it.
Got it.
We'll take it. Let's get to, you got to help me with this name, Ray Lina?
It's Ray Lina.
Ray Lina from Levine. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I was just kind of curious. We purchased a house about 2 years ago and lots of overgrowth, all that good stuff. It kind of sat for about a year, so a lot of the bushes, trees weren't watered. And we actually have three mesquite trees and, you know, they're full grown. The two on the end are doing fabulous. The one in the middle is not doing very good. It really doesn't have a lot of leaves. It's kind of bare. And I tried watering it to see if that would help because, you know, we pretty much need to pull up the whole entire backyard and redo our watering system. So we don't water a lot of our plants, especially the bougainvilleas, but they still seem to live. And I was just kind of curious if we should maybe try to cut it and that will, you know, maybe let it grow back or just completely pull it out.
I wouldn't do any pruning right now with the cold weather we're having.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's so many things. Trees are like people. They're individuals, and they can have their own personalities, the way that they grow. You can have three in a row, and one will misbehave. Just won't do what the other two are doing. The basics are water it properly. And right now, we're really in a very, very low water use period, almost just rainfall. But when you do water it very deeply to a depth of about 3 feet. Again,
okay.
Beating the same drum, water use it wisely. There's a chart on there that'll show you how many gallons you want to put on that to water to a 3 foot depth. Can be easily 50, 60, 70, 80 gallons on a nice little tree. It's more than most folks realize. So,
like you said, they have their own personality. They really do. You never see two trees that are perfectly identical, and there's a reason for that. A lot of it too, soils can change very rapidly. A lot of the development areas, if you look at a geological map of, you know, Arizona, and you zoom into a city, you can't tell hardly any kind of drainage. You zoom far enough out, and you can tell where this wash was coming right in, but it completely got leveled and developed over. And you know, those washes could have all kinds of caliche or sands or multiple types of minerals that have been washed down. Old cotton fields, old farm fields that have been built over can have all kinds of soils and nutrients and fertilizers that have been built up over 30, 40, 50, 100 years of farming. So it could just be a soil condition as well.
And even how the tree was planted. If it was planted too deep, that's one of the major errors that are made is when you plant a plant or tree, planting it too deep.
Too deep.
Too deep.
Bring it up.
Want to have the root flare just right at grade. Basically, if it's in a container, you want to plant that so it's just a tiny bit above grade. You don't ever want to plant it below ground. Don't dig a whole lot below the tree because you don't want it to settle after it's been planted. You want to dig a nice wide hole. That's the best way to plant a tree.
One of the most popular things that we find at Rosie on the House every year is Baby Kay, my grandmother's, pecan recipes. She takes pecans, melts some butter, bastes it with a little butter, puts a little cajun.
A little butter?
That's a little... A lot.
Yeah. I've got 40 pounds.
I was just saying, you're doing 40 pounds. I don't know if Mama Kay's ever done 40 pounds for the... We eat a lot of pecans, but I don't think we've ever gone through 40 pounds.
I'll post a picture. It's a lot of fun, and everybody loves them.
And on our blog, we have that recipe, our Christmas blog. It's probably about 3 years old, but we repost it every Christmas. The music that you've been hearing, the Dixieland jazz music that's been the looking a lot like Christmas trumpets and everything, where you can get that CD is available online, along with some of our other Christmas classics. But back to the pecan recipe, a lot of Cajun pepper. So they're very hot pecans, and they're wonderful. And you got to be very careful that when you're done eating them, because, I mean, you'll sit there and you'll have seven or eight and be like, oh, these are hot, I'm done. And then 5 minutes later, you'll be eating them again. But you got to wash your hands because she's got so much seasoning that it gets in your fingernails. And if you're not careful and you rub your eye because it's sweating.
Ouch.
Oh, it's a science to it. But pecans, we have a lot of pecans in Arizona. That's a great gift idea. In fact, Julie Murphy, who's here with us, the Arizona Farm Bureau, here is your own jar of Romero
roasted
pecans.
Oh,
I'm glad I came for that reason alone.
And those are Arizona pecans.
Yes,
awesome.
Arizona pecans
Thank
with
you.
Our Cajun touch added to it.
And I bet they're delish.
Well, we'll let you decide afterwards.
Okay, well, I'll eat them. In fact, I don't know if I want to share them with anybody. Yes, and we have a lot of pecans and some of our pecan farmers around here, and you can go to ourfillyourplate.org and source for pecans, and that's one of those great gift ideas. And get your recipe for these.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Some other ag products that we can give for gift giving.
What I like to
we're
say...
We're going to all eat at Christmas. That's
yes.
one of the big things is that meal.
Absolutely. What I like to say for the creative gift giver, they will find a wealth of a treasure trove of products that they can source for on fillyourplate.org, partly because, obviously, it's Arizona grown, a lot of your Arizona products, and two of our most popular items that people source for are beef, so you can get locally raised beef, and also wine. People don't realize we have award-winning wine growers here in the valley and up north and south, and those are two of our most popular products to source for, and then purchase those by connecting with the farmer directly. And it's
you
just
had
a great opportunity.
A blog post just about how much money the wine industry has brought to Arizona in the last couple of years. I don't recall them off the top of my head. It was a very astonishing number.
It is, and it's probably in all of the segments, because agriculture is so diverse, it's probably the fastest growing segment is our wine grapes, our wine growers. A lot of opportunity there. If you go down south to the Elgin area, you're going to Sonoida, you're going to see some great wine. And
needs
and
a higher elevation.
Yep. And going up north into the Yavapai County area, it's actually all over the state. And like I said, award-winning. We've competed against the California wines, against the French wines, and we've been ranked at the top. So they're getting a lot of attention. So it's one of the places, if you go to fillyourplate.org, and you can source for some of the available wine.
Now, will it ever compete with cotton as far as economic impact?
Not for a while, probably. In fact, you know, you sort of can have your white Christmas if you're driving up and down the 101, except that most of the harvesting is completed. But when it's in full bloom and they're ready to harvest, you'll see some of the most amazing high-quality white cotton, and you can get that just driving up and down the 101. But we, throughout the state, I think this year we were kind of close to about 200,000 acres, and most of the harvesting starts late October, early November, and I think we're close to being just about done. It's an exciting place to see our cotton. In fact, in the state of Arizona, we developed and grow right here our long staple cotton, that nice high-end cotton shirt that you're wearing probably is with a long staple.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, so... It's a really neat time to watch the harvesting, and though most of it's been wrapped up, it's a great celebration of one of our agriculture commodities right here in the state of Arizona.
Now, when we decided we were going to cover cotton this Saturday, I called a cotton farmer friend of mine.
Oh, good.
John Hart, the Hart family.
Yes.
He doesn't do cotton. John himself, his brother Larry, does in Maricopa, but he's moved to Wilcox, and that's not... That higher climate, cotton hasn't done well. He said he did it once, but he was just going through some of the history of cotton.
It's amazing.
And I did not realize that Goodyear, the town of Goodyear, Arizona, mm-hmm. named for Goodyear Tires.
Correct.
But the reason Goodyear Tires chose to come put their plant in Arizona was to be next to the cotton fields, because
yep.
they were using cotton fiber for the sidewalls and treads in their tire.
Yeah, so for all our residents that live in Goodyear, you can know that you've got that historical link to cotton, and it was very significant and very important during World War II. So, and if you go to the wigwam, you'll see a lot of their history reflected too, and it's all centered around our cotton industry.
I would have never guessed it was in the same family as hibiscus, okra, and you're gonna have to help me with what is a swamp mallow.
You know as much about that as I do. I thought
Anybody?
It was just as fascinating.
No.
It sounds like something down south, right?
It does. It really
but
does.
You grow in the swamp, maybe.
You mentioned 200,000 acres of cotton in Arizona. And curious minds would want to know this, so I did look up. You know, Arizona is 113,000 square miles, sixth largest state in the union, or in the continental. Well, continental, because I think Alaska would probably beat us. But in the continental U.S., sixth largest per each square mile. 640 acres. So it's 0.002% of our land is cotton.
You're impressing me with your numbers, Romy. That's awesome. And, you know, we talk about, and for you and I, even when you just reflect on 1 acre, and we're about 200,000 acres of cotton this latest season, but we at one time were growing as much as 500,000 to 600,000 acres. So our acreage in cotton has really gone down, but our yields per acre continue to increase. So despite that, there's still a significant industry in our cotton industry here in the state of Arizona. And we're one of 17 Cotton Belt states, but we always like to identify with people that California and Arizona grow some of the cleanest and brightest white cotton just because we have so little rain and we actually irrigate, and we can do that through drip or furrow irrigation. But that's why the quality of our cotton is so high, because of the fact that we have so much sunshine and we don't have the rain to kind of discolor the cotton.
Putting it into perspective, from one bale of cotton, which is about 480 pounds,
yep.
Weave, sew, knit, gin, spin 215 pairs of jeans.
Yes.
250 bed sheets, 750 shirts, 1,200 socks or T-shirts, 2,100 pairs of socks, or 860,000 cotton balls.
Isn't that
wild? A lot of cotton balls.
And, you know, we can keep it all, we're all wearing blue jeans today, and we can actually keep it out of the landfill thanks to a company called Bonded Logic. And you guys in the housing and construction industry will appreciate this. This Bonded Logic actually makes their insulin out of recycled blue jeans. So they're recycling, and it's supposed to be a high-end insulation for buildings. A lot of recording studios love that type of insulation versus your traditional insulation. So, and they're using cotton to do it. It's pretty neat.
Costs a little bit more, but hey, it makes the attic work a whole heck of a lot easier than messing with fiberglass. And if you're ever doing any kind of retrofit or running more wires, fixing a plumbing leak, crawling through a denim attic is a whole heck of a lot nicer than a fiberglass attic.
It is. And our family were cotton farmers. That's Mom and Dad farmed cotton for about 45 years here in the Valley, and we have all sorts of crazy stories to tell you.
You beat me to it, but John Hart said, make sure you acknowledge that that's what Julie's family does with cotton farming.
Thanks, so. John.
It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. When we get back, we're going to Dale, who wants to talk about planting. He needs to help with what to select for east and west sides of his home. And we also have Julie Murphy, Arizona Farm Bureau. It's fillyourplate.org. And you guys have a great new tool, Find a Farm Product.
Yes, we actually have three searchable databases, and one of them that the most recent one we did was the farmers market, so that you can source if you're up north and you want to see what farmers markets are available.
That's fillyourplate.org. We'll be back right after this.